Welcome to Have You Tried Turning It Off and On Again? We're now broadcasting under Raw Tech. We are going to now talk about a continuation of the earlier two videos where we're building artificial intelligence. We're going to use Entity Framework to bring in our connection to our database and execute some unit tests against that, show you how to insert data into the database as well as retrieve data out of the database. So this should look pretty familiar to everybody. This is where we were at our last stop. We had built the database project, and we had deployed that database project out to Azure. We'll begin by right-clicking the solution and adding a new project. That new project is going to be under Visual C Sharp, and then Windows and Class Library. Now, I really like to keep with good naming conventions, so what I'll do is check what our previous project was called, which is Teddy Demo, and call it teddydemo.core. This is where our core types are going to exist, our core data context, anything that's going to be shared within the solution of our new project. And with this, you'll get a standard class 1.cs, and we're just going to go ahead and knock that thing out. And it's pretty much useless for us. Next, we'll right-click the project and add a new folder. We'll name this folder Entity Framework. So right-click Entity Framework, add new item, navigate down to data, and select 80.NET Entity Data Model. From here, name what you want your context to be. I like to call mine TeddyDB Context. This tells me that this is a database context. Select code first from database. From here, we're going to do a new connection, and that new connection is going to use our SQL database that we deployed in the last video. So if you haven't seen the last video, make sure you go and check that out. Now, remember, if you've changed locations, you'll need to re-whitelist your IP address. You might get an error saying IP address isn't allowed. So what we're going to do is go to our database, our dashboard. There's a menu for Manage Allowed IP Addresses. So we'll click Manage Allowed IP Addresses. You'll see for a test database, I've just allowed the whole world in. You would normally go to like IP Chicken or something and enable that IP. So going back to our SQL database after it's whitelisted, we'll go to the dashboard and you'll see the server name. That's the server name we're going to use. So just highlight and copy that and paste it into the server name here. So we'll use SQL Server Authentication. I use the same username and password for all demos, so I have that pretty much memorized. Use yours. There, you'll click on the drop-down for the database, pick the database that you deployed, and select OK. From here, you'll see the connection string get generated. Click Yes, include the sensitive data in the connection string, and make sure it's OK. From here, we're going to select all the tables that we want. We're going to include everything except our junction table. Entity Framework is going to deal with the junction table for us by creating the correct foreign key relationships between the two models. And I actually am not showing that off in the video, but we can show that off in a later video. So click Finish, and it'll do a lot of code generation for us. And once that's done, it will bring you into the database context that it generates. You'll see that it generates a lot of DB set for every entity, as well as a lot of mapping for you. You can go read more about Entity Framework 6 on msdn.com. We'll probably post some more blogs, but this generates all the basics that you need, as well as six brand new classes, or multiple brand new classes for you. Begin by right-clicking the solution. Go new project. In keeping with naming conventions, it should be teddydemo.core.tests. This tells us that these are the tests that align with the core. So once that gets created, we're going to have a unit test one class and a test method one. So we'll just right click and rename unit test one, and we will rename unit test one to tweet crud test. This tells us that create, read, update, delete tests. The first thing we need is creating tweets. We can't read tweets or delete tweets if we don't have tweets. So let's create the test name, test method, tweet underscore test create tweet. So we'll start by trying to create a new TeddyDB context. You'll see that when you type that, it comes up with the red squigglies. That's because we didn't add a reference to this particular project for teddydemo.core. So go ahead and right-click your references, add a new reference, go into projects, and select teddydemo.core. This will allow us to retype teddydemo.db.context. If you hold down Control and push the period, you'll generate this menu, click Enter, and you'll get our using statement for teddydemo.core.entityframework. Now we can begin by using this. By typing using var equals teddydemo.db or teddydb.context, this tells us that when we're done with this using block to dispose the object. You'll see that db is not working. By highlighting, you'll see that db.context doesn't exist in this project. It's because we're using Entity Framework in a project that doesn't have Entity Framework installed. If you right-click on your project and go to Manage NuGet Packages, you'll see Entity Framework. Go ahead and select Entity Framework from the left-hand side, click Install, select OK, and Entity Framework will begin installing. Within the using block that we just created, go ahead and type tweet T equals new tweet. What we're actually doing here is just newing up a tweet that we're going to save in the Entity Framework. Entity Framework is really easy to use. It uses db.tweets, and you can add, remove, things like that. So we're going to set the tweet text to @DavidCrook1988 rocks my socks. That's my Twitter handle, so feel free to tweet at me if you watch this video and enjoy it. So db.tweets. Tweets is, in this instance, is accessing our database, and we'll just go ahead and add T to it. This doesn't directly save to the database. It just saves in the entity tracker. From there, we need to actually call db.saveChanges. And if we go ahead and right-click the test method and go to debug test, you'll see that we can actually debug our tests and get breakpoints. Unfortunately, we get an error in this instance, which is because our app config does not contain the connection string for the DB context. So go to the app config where we generated all of our entity framework, grab from the connection strings our teddy.db context, copy that, and paste it somewhere inside the configuration for the test app config. Once you have that saved, our test should now operate. We have everything about Entity Framework connected and full connection strings to the database. So go ahead, right-click and debug the test again, and you'll see we hit our breakpoint. Look at that. So we can hover over tweet and see that it has the text saved, and we'll go ahead and execute that. We get a check mark on our Test Explorer. And next, we'll open a new query from the SQL Server Object Explorer. And just do select star from dbo.tweets. Because we're not pointed at our current database, we need to swap from master over to DRC Teddy Annotator. That'll give us our autocomplete, and we can execute the select star from there, and we can see that we have the tweet that we just saved. Success! We are already saving data. It's only been about 9 minutes in, I think, and a lot of it was bumpers, so that's good. So what we'll do is add a bunch of tweets so we can do some more interesting things later on. So we'll do a for loop. We'll add 100 tweets, and we'll go ahead and refactor this code to exist within that. We'll add a new tweet plus the i.to string. And with our code, we see that we are adding tweets inside of the for loop and saving tweets outside of the for loop. This is actually going to increase our performance, which I'm going to demonstrate. One of the cool new features in Visual Studio 2015 is you can see the execution time between two breakpoints. So we're actually going to measure the time between these two and the two different methods you can do in saving. So in this case, we're doing it in the faster of the two methods. We'll hit continue, and it takes about 10,000 milliseconds for the faster method to execute. So let's go ahead and select star from the database and just make sure. It looks like on the bottom right, you can see we have 100 rows added. So let's go ahead and delete from as well. That kills all 100 rows. We'll go back, stop this and restart it with the change. Now, this is a mistake I see very often. People save their changes right after adding a new tweet. We'll see that this takes a little bit more than double the time, and this is only 100 entities. If you do this with more, it gets even slower. So we'll go ahead and continue through this. And remember, the last time we executed it took 10,000 milliseconds. And there it is, 25,000 milliseconds. So that's pretty rough on our performance. Let's go ahead and select star from the database. Just verify we have 100 rows, so we didn't do anything extra crazy. And we'll go ahead and just clean up our mess. So we'll delete from again. Because it was so slow, we're going to just go ahead and stop that and refactor and have our db.save changes outside of the for loop and replace our just dummy code so we can have a breakpoint. So go ahead and highlight this and copy it. We'll paste this new method, rename create to get, and we'll begin by getting our code. Start by deleting everything inside the using statement. Add a new using system.link. This allows us to have things like db.tweets2list. So replace all the code with var tweets equals db.tweets.toList. And we'll start by actually adding some real test code. We want to assert is true tweets.count is greater than 0. If tweets is 0, then this test will fail and it'll show up as an X in our test. So right click, debug the test. And there we go. We have 100 tweets in the tweets variable, which will give us an assert true, and we can see David Crook 1988 plus the tweet number of that count. So go ahead, highlight, and copy this code. We're going to paste this again, and we will actually be testing our delete functionality at this point. We need to make sure that we can get all the tweets out and delete them. So when we run this, this test sequence, we're going to create first, then we're going to get, and then we're going to have a test that actually tests our deletes, but not only does it test our deletes, it actually cleans up after ourselves. The next thing that we're going to do is go through each tweet in tweets and do db.tweets.remove. In this instance, we can remove a single instance of a tweet from the database. And then just like before, this just removes to actually save those to the server. We're going to add two breakpoints, one before and one after, because there are two ways we can actually execute this. And we want to see what the performance difference is between them. I really like this new feature. So we'll go ahead and clean up our database. We'll delete everything out, and then we'll go rerun the create functionality so we know we have 100 tweets, and we're back at a ground zero for testing the deletes. If we want to test the performance between two different delete paradigms, we need to have the same starting point. So again, right-click tweet test deletes, and we'll see that actually start. We'll hit the breakpoint at the for each. Once we hit that, we'll go up to continue. That'll go through the process of removing all the tweets and then saving out to the database. When we hit line 49, we'll see that that took 6,035 milliseconds, which is pretty quick for some deletes. So we'll go ahead and stop that off, and we'll go and switch to the new paradigm. The new paradigm is db.tweets.removeRange, and just toss it the whole list. This is the easier way to remove a range of tweets, but is it as performant? So go ahead and do all the cleanup, select, delete, rerun the tweet test, create. We want to make sure that we have exactly 100 tweets because we're going to compare our remove range to the for each. So now that we have all the same, go ahead, right-click, and run the test. Again, we're going to break right before what would have been the for each. So we'll break at line 43 and pick back up again at line 46. So go ahead and hit continue. From here, we're going to remove the entire range, and we're going to call db.saveChanges. And look, 6,060 milliseconds, about 35 milliseconds slower. That could be due to anything. It's 35 milliseconds, so they're just as performant. This code just looks a little bit cleaner. So next up, we're going to use a cool feature within Link, not just creating lists. We're actually going to do a where statement. So tweet.test link gets. we want to get just a subset of the data. In GETS, we got all of the data, but sometimes I think it's important to get just a subset. So after tweets, do dot where x lambda x dot id modulus 3 equals 0. And just for good measure, throw some quotes around the evaluation of x.id modulus 3. And if you throw a semicolon at the end, you'll see that that is of the incorrect type. That's an iQueryable. So what you need to do is actually add a .to list with some parentheses around it. This will convert tweets into a list and something that can actually be evaluated. So we'll hit our breakpoint that we set at the assert. You can see that we have exactly 33. So if you take 100 and divide that by 3, since we're grabbing a third of them, that's approximately 33. And you'll see that all of the IDs in here are, in fact, a multiple of 3. So let's go ahead and just double check, make sure we're not crazy. We select star from DBO tweets. We have 100 rows, and we are only returning 33 tweets, where the tweet ID is in fact an actual multiple of 3. So this is doing exactly what we want. This is perfect. A really cool feature comes from functional languages. So at this point, we're going to go ahead and clean up our whole database. And at this point, we should have absolutely nothing. We'll delete from, then select star. When we execute the select star, we have nothing left there. Let's go ahead and run this in the Test Explorer. So go to the Test Explorer and click Run All. And you'll see that the tests begin to run. I like to define my creation followed by any kind of operations I want to test for on data being in the database, and finish up by cleaning the database so that I'm back at a healthy state. So we'll select, and you can see we're back at a fully healthy state. No data is in the database, but our tests actually passed. And that's database first migrations using Entity Framework and C#. So, you know, follow the really good code structure that we've demonstrated here. Have a database project, a core project, and a test project. If you want to do something more like a ASP.NET web API, you would actually, instead of having a test project, you would have a web API project, and you'd do the same sort of thing.